Okay. God wants to remove every hindrance to communion or hearing God. Sometimes you'll deal with a racing mind or active thoughts, and that keeps you from going to the realm of the Spirit. God taught me how to slow down, do something that will relax you, go into a state of rest in the Spirit, take a long walk, walk slow and stroll and relax, and it will be easier to hear the voice of God. Some people have a mental block of hearing that blocks the voice of God because we're afraid that He will tell us something we're afraid to hear, or He'll make us do something we don't want to do. And so it is really helpful if you've already committed to the complete Lordship of Christ and made that decision. And if you haven't made it, you need to make it today. The greatest lifestyle is when He's truly Lord and you trust Him with your whole life. And that means whatever He says. Because if you're already committed to that, when He tells you something, it won't be fearful. There's another fear people have. This is what I used to deal with. I would be afraid that He wouldn't talk or I wouldn't enter in and that I would feel hurt or disappointed. And once He explained this to me and I got rid of that, I was free to receive. Guilt and condemnation, Satan's biggest sword to keep us out of the Holy of Holies is to guilt trip us and to cause us to feel we can't enter in. And God would like to renew your mind to the place where you fully understand what the blood of Jesus has done, as the veil of the temple has been torn open completely and forever, so that if your heart loves Jesus, that you can go into that place. And if you need to be changed, if you need deliverance, you can find it in that place. You don't stay out feeling like you've got to get good enough to go in. You go in because you know that that is where you will be changed, set free, and delivered. Your heart must be contrite, though. The one requirement for all this is you got to have a right heart, meaning you want with all your heart to walk pure before God. You want to be pure. You want to be holy. It is a desire of your heart. Sometimes people don't have that heart and still expect the grace of God to cover them. And sometimes, if your heart is not right towards these matters, you cannot go in the same manner. It's all about the heart. Sometimes people are hindered because life has gone difficult. We talked about this a little this morning. Difficulties or hurts in life. Sometimes people can get upset with God or feel hurt by God. And I remember one night I was at Lighthouse and God brought this up and He said there was someone there that had really felt hurt by God. And they were just so wounded and felt that God had let them down or had just didn't care enough to deal with their situation. And the grace of the Lord was there. The Spirit of the Lord was there. And as I shared it, someone began crying. And we took them through a prayer of releasing that back to God. And God delivered. He did it. He did it all. He brought it up. He talked to them. And He did it all. And delivered that person and set them free so that they could enter back into His presence. One of the things I've seen that causes a problem is people get all excited. They have a goosebump in a meeting, or they have an experience when someone lays hands on them, they're slain in the Spirit, and they begin to seek after the experiences of God rather than God. And what happens is sometimes they can open the door for deception from the enemy, because God will have no idol before Him. God, I hate to say this, God is a fuss budget. There's one thing He absolutely will never bend on. He just won't bend on it. He will not have any idol before Him. And what that means is nobody in your life comes before Him. No relationship, no emotion, no ministry, no desire of your heart. He is first and He will be first. Or that's, you know, I'm just telling you, any form of idolatry brings a curse. It just does. And what I found is if you want to walk free and have a blessed life, get rid of anything that you desire more than Him. Get rid of that desire. Kill it. When I was young, about in my 20s, I had a desire that had been my desire since my very earliest memory. So like since I was probably about 3 or 4, I had desired, my family owned, we owned horses, and we had my grandparents had a farm, and all I ever wanted to do from my littlest memory was I wanted a farm and wanted to raise horses. And it was so much a part of me. It was like that burden God talked about earlier. it had actually become a part of who I was. Every thought, every day, I was obsessed with the idea. I thought of how I would go, what trade I would go in to make enough money to buy the land to have. I mean, everything I did was geared towards this one thing. Well, after I got saved and I got fired up for Jesus, you know, it never even dawned on me that that was idolatry. And because God had not told me that was my plan, you know, the plan for my life. And I'll never forget one day, I had a close friend that had show horses, really beautiful horses, and I was standing in the barn and I was petting this horse, just petting his nose and thinking, boy, this is a really beautiful horse. And the Lord said, idol. And it was like he might as well have stuck a sword through me. It was shocking to realize that I had, without even knowing it, I had something I wanted that was so much a desire of my heart that I hadn't even considered to really talk to him about it. You know, that I just said, this is where I'm going, you know. And so I had already made the decision that Jesus Christ is Lord and I'll have no other gods before him. So my decision was instantly, that's not for me. Instantly, I'm talking immediately. Now, I had to die for about 6 months because it was so much a part of my soul. You know, your soul embraces dreams. Your soul, talking about your emotions and your mind and the way you think and speak, you know, if you speak something all your life, you that becomes a part of your goals and your dreams. And if that's not God, now you've got an issue. And so that was an issue for me. And so I had to die to the thing. I spent a lot of time crying. Might sound dumb to some people, but if you ever had a dream that you had to die to, because it wasn't God, you know. And so, but there can be other idols. Ministry can be an idol. Being used of God can be an idol. Being seen as the one with all the power. A lot of times people, here's one way to test your heart. A lot of times people want to be used in healing gifts, but the question is it your desire to see people healed because you care for their pain, you care for them? Or is it because you want to be seen as the one or you want to have the gift? And a lot of times, honestly, the way it's been presented in the church, and this is probably nobody's fault, but the way it's been presented has been like, if you have these gifts, you know, then you're a success. And so a lot of us aspire to being approved by God or a success in God. You know, we see ministries on TV that are, you know, look powerful and preach under a certain type of anointing and they look a certain way. And it's very easy to fall in the trap of thinking that's how it's supposed to be. And maybe for some people it is how it's supposed to be, but not for everybody. And so we have to search our heart very carefully. You know, I went through some time where God very carefully caused me to search my heart, and I realized that some of my motives, I desired so much to be used of God that in some ways that was a little bit out of order. And so I spent a couple of years purging my heart from that stuff. Because, see, I heard someone preach in my early, you know, what they call like formative years where I was forming who I was as a believer. You know, some of the first preachers you hear make an impression on you and what you believe, whether they're right or wrong. Well, anyway, I heard this one preacher who moved in a lot of power and really walked close to God and had some wonderful relationship. They talked about entering into the depth of God and being moved in the Spirit. And this person had a lot of fire of God on their life, real moved in some real fire. And I loved this minister, just really loved them. And I remember they talked about that if you really wanted to move more into this stuff, to cleanse your vessel or to become clean, delivered, whole, emotionally whole. And so I got excited about that, and there was no ministries that I knew that had emotional healing or deliverance type ministries. And so I began to, with the Holy Ghost, you know, driving in the car to and from work, I would say, okay, Lord, what do you want to deal with now? And he would actually give me the name of something, either a stronghold or a behavior pattern, sometimes a thought pattern. He would actually describe it to me. And I would go after that thing and pray in tongues, specifically saying, that is leaving, that is going out of my life. And I would pray, and if it took one day or 3 days or 30 days, I didn't care. And I would pray till I got a release, and I saw behavior change. I saw strongholds leave. I saw characteristics of what I thought was my personality and began to realize a lot of that isn't you. It's not me. It's either false belief systems or it's strongholds. Just one example. I was very, very, very shy, painfully shy kid, and seemed odd that God would call me to talk to people in public and sing in public, which I couldn't even hum in public without embarrassment because my sister made fun of me when I was little for humming. So I couldn't do any of that stuff. And when I started preaching, God started, he had somebody give me a word of knowledge, and they said, you're full of fear. And I thought, you're out of your mind. I'm the least fearful person I know. I thought, that's totally a wrong word. But that night, God began to show me, he gave me flashbacks through my life and showed me shyness. And he told me shyness is really the fear of man. So I went after it. And I went after it and prayed in the Spirit and got delivered so that I could preach pretty much to any size crowd, and never bothers me. I'm never fearful about it. Never nervous in front of people. I can sing, and I don't care if my voice does crack. I don't care. Hallelujah. And that's just one example, though. Everybody's going to be different. But if you want to, you know, see, the thing is, some people say, well, I'm good the way I am. I don't need to change. Well, the truth is, if you look, if you're not like Jesus in every capacity, and we're not, then we need to change. You know, if the goal is just to be a fairly decent person, that, you know, then you're okay the way you are, but that's not the goal. The goal is that we want to be like him. And so when he confronts us and says, now change, we go, well, wait a minute, I don't want to change that. But what I found is it's worth what it takes. It's worth to press in and be changed. And you can self-deliver, you can go after those strongholds and fight them and win, because you've been given the authority to do that. You pray into that. If you see attitudes or behavior patterns that don't seem right to you, that's a red flag. God's showing you something that you need to get rid of. And one of the great things about relationship with him is he'll tell you, you can ask him, well, what? Why am I doing that? Why do I do that? You know, I remember one time I was in an office, a church office, and the pastor, who was a real nice guy, came in and said something to me, and I responded in a way that didn't even make sense to me. Do you ever have that? Like, your own behavior's like, why did I say that? What a stupid thing, you know? It's like your behavior pattern is one way, and then all of a sudden you act up or say something wrong, and I responded kind of in a stressed way, and he kind of smiled, and he was very kind about it. I wasn't mean or anything, but it was like I was fretting and stressing over getting something done, and he wasn't. And I remember I sat in the car and said, you know, a lot happens in my car. I said, Lord, why am I like that? What was that about? And immediately he gave me a flashback of something that had happened 21 years earlier. And that's how he'll show you. A lot of times you just get a quick memory. And what had happened was, I worked for a man who was very, very physically big and very pushy, and he did not have time to be bothered. And I was still reacting to that guy 21 years later, because that guy had intimidated me, and I had accepted that intimidation, and I was still dealing with everybody in authority in a fearful way. And it totally wasn't this new man that I was dealing with. It wasn't his. You know, he wasn't like that, but I was still responding to the other guy. All it took to get free, and a lot of times all you got to do to get free is, Lord, I'm so sorry. Take that away from me. I repent for that. Boom, gone. And that's basically all I said. And from that day on, that behavior pattern's gone. That sounds like a little thing, but isn't it better to be free? And so, hallelujah. You can get free, emotionally healed and delivered pretty much by yourself if you'll press in and keep asking him, why am I like this? What's the root cause? And even better still, you know how they say we're like an onion and you keep peeling off these layers? God knows what to deal with first. So if you have a problem and you're going to him and you're not getting a result, put that on the shelf and say, Lord, what do you want to deal with first? Because sometimes he's got to work through You know, he's got to work through some outer layers before he gets to the deeper stuff. But let him. Hallelujah. Okay, how do the attacks come? What are some of the open doors that allow attacks when you're trying to press in? Believe me, Satan doesn't want you to get there. One of the biggest things I've seen when I pray with people is that they have what I call soul ties or controlling ties, manipulative ties in the spirit. For whatever reason, I can usually see them. I see them and it look like a cord from them to somebody else. They can't feel it and they don't know it. And sometimes they're even no longer in relationship with that person. I had one young woman come to me in a meeting, and the minute I looked at her, I saw this tie, and I gave her a word, and the word was this: you used to have a relationship with a young man. It was an unclean relationship. I said, you no longer see him, and you've gotten out of the relationship, but there's still a tie there. And it is causing you, because what I saw, the way I knew it was, the word of knowledge was this: I kept seeing her looking back over her shoulder, and she was dealing with lust, now for somebody else. I said, the issue is, you've never broken that tie from the old thing, and there's still something pulling on you. And I know that sounds strange, but in the realm of the spirit, ties can cause you to be not free. If you've ever been subjected yourself to a control freak, you ever know anybody or get in a relationship with somebody that wants to run your business, if you allow that, what happens is that's a form of idolatry. They have become your God. They are in idolatry, and so are you. Or if you're the control freak, you need to stop it, because what happens is you're telling people you're trying to be their God and tell them not what to do and how to do it. And the problem is a soul tie can form, and it causes people to be not free in God. And so anyway, with this young woman, I broke the tie, and she experienced a lot of freedom after that from the other issues she's currently having. When I came into God and I first heard somebody talk about soul ties, I had some sessions with God where I had him take me back through my life and remind me of any kind of tie that needed to be broken. Any kind of tie. And there's all kinds. But if you ever had unclean relationships, you know, when your man is joined to a woman, they become one. Even if she's a harlot, the Bible says. So if you're ever wrongfully joined, you need to break the ties. And it can free you. Sometimes people get involved with an organization. They get hooked in. They take an oath. Some secret organizations, you have these secret oaths and stuff. And that'll hold you bound. Spiritual manipulation. There are people who don't outwardly seem controlling. They seem nice. But they're doing manipulative things in the realm of the spirit. And it can mess with you. And it's nothing to be afraid of. We have all the power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And by the way, even if that person is saved, there's manipulators that are saved. Mm-hmm. There's control freaks that are saved. But what God showed me is greater is he that's in you than he that's operating by the world. So even if they're saved, if they're operating by an unclean spirit, and you're operating by the Spirit of God, guess who wins? You do. So you can still break the tie and bless them, you know, love them, hallelujah, but you don't have to be manipulated in the spirit. Relational idolatry, this happens all the time. All the time, I see it all the time. And people, for whatever reason, when they're in it, they don't always see it. A relational idolatry can be your daughter is, you're so tied to what your daughter or your son does, or your parents. You're so hooked into your family that they've actually come before God, and it causes all kinds of problems. Like I said, whenever there's idolatry, it brings a curse. It causes problems for you. And so God will have nothing before him. Soul ties, I talked about that. Some examples, or people who've been involved in a secret organization, can be like Masons, can be some clubs. You know, I prayed with one person, and God showed me they took an oath when they were a kid. They took a blood oath, cut their finger, you know, did a blood. Seemed like nothing, but what you've done is cut a covenant. Now you got a little tie there. You just repent of it. It's no big deal. I repent. I break it in the name of Jesus. It has no hold on me. Boom. Any oath that you took that wasn't of God, repent of it. Ask the Lord to release you from it. Former religions, some people come out of stuff and haven't shaken the junk off, you know. There's a few people that have come to our meetings that you can, like, you can sense that they've been in a lot of New Age stuff, so they've actually openly dabbled in a lot of spiritual things, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And it's like a spider web, you know. You got to cut it off them. And they don't know the difference. A lot of times they think that is Jesus. But it causes them problems. If you have any occult stuff in your house or any old junk, you know, burn it, throw it out, get rid of it. We used to call it the burning phase. I was going through the burning phase. You know, the Bible says, hating even the clothing defiled by the flesh. If you have stuff that, you know, at one point I remember touching an article of clothing and it was like, ew, you know, out. Just get rid of it. There's no reason to hang on to stuff that has, you know, sometimes things, I don't know why, but things can open the door to the demonic. I remember a woman came to my house for deliverance and,
I turned it down.
Yeah. Woo, it's way hot.
It's just the sunshine.
I know. This woman came to my house for deliverance. I don't want to tape that. A woman that came to my house for deliverance. And as we prayed through a number of issues, and I didn't know much about her. And I said, you know, I'm seeing this weird-looking mask hanging on a wall. She said, oh, I know exactly the mask you're talking about. I said, well, what am I talking about? Her dad was an archaeologist. And on the living, and she was living with her parents, even though she was older. And on the wall, he had a whole bunch of masks, and she said they had all kinds of, you know, it was just junk. But her dad wasn't saved, and it was his treasure, so she wasn't going to be able to get rid of it. But she's in that house. She's got to deal with that. Well, she said, I've been able to pray all the other ones till there's nothing there. But she said, that one, there's something. She said, I'm telling you, something's not right with that thing. She said, if I even sit in that room, there's some issues. So we prayed, and we, you know, since we can't make, it's his house. He rules the house. That's his house. Can't make him take down the thing. But you can take authority so that nothing can bother you. You can rule, you know, like if you're in someone else's home. That's what Jesus said. When you go into a town, you know, you go to someone's home, if they're peace, if you put your peace on that house, if that peace returns to you, you can stay there. That's what he was saying. In other words, if you go in someone's home and you can sense something is not right there, it's probably better if you don't stay there if you don't have to. You know, better to live on the corner of a roof than, you know, with junk. Amen? Okay, how to break things with your words. All these things can be broken simply by the power of your words. Soul ties, negative words have been spoken against you. Sometimes people do, they don't mean to, but maybe they've spoken word curses over you. Some children grow up hearing, you'll never amount to anything, or you're slow, or whatever. I had one woman come to me and say, I'm so tired of being called slow. And I said, you're not slow. And I began to kind of preach at her. And she, in the natural, she might have been considered a little bit less adept than some people. She couldn't drive, had a little trouble reading. And I started to preach to her what the Bible says. I said, you have the mind of Christ. You're not slow. You may have been slow before you got saved, but now you're not slow anymore. And we're not taking that. And so she believed me. She now drives. She's reading better. There's nothing that you can't have from God. And those were just words. I broke the effects of the words off her soul. But sometimes words impact your soul and your belief systems. And you may even forget what's been said, but it has impacted you. And sometimes you can get somebody free by breaking the words off of them that have been spoken. You can overcome word cursing. Sometimes people pray stuff against you if they're mad at you. It shouldn't happen, but it does. People do that stuff. And demons use those, you know, angels and devils use words. That's what happens. An angel is commissioned when you speak faith in the word. When you say or proclaim the word, that's what commissions angels. If you don't stand in faith and proclaim it, they can't do a thing. They're sent as ministers to serve those of us, to serve God. But how they operate is by words. Well, guess who else does? Demons are fallen angels. So what they do, they try to get witches to speak stuff. That's why they're always trying to get a person, because people have been given authority in the earth. Oh, this is another sermon. I'm not going there. Jesus Christ gave us back the authority over the earth realm. And it is by our words that we're supposed to rule and reign. Well, what happens is, the enemy, you know, believe me, if he could kill you, he'd kill you. He'd kill you right now. He'd kill every one of you and me too. If he could just come in and do it. But he can't. He doesn't have the authority to do so. What he tries to do is get people to speak junk because it releases his little imps to go do stuff. Well, you can break that. You can break all that. In the name of Jesus, I break every word spoken. You know, I quote the scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper or succeed in the name of Jesus. Okay, you can change your mind to become the habitation of communion with God. You exchange the lie for the truth. One of the biggest areas that the enemy holds us back in is the area of false belief systems. If you believe something wrongfully, to you, you think it's the truth. But if it is not the truth, you'll go through your life acting as though it is because you believe it is. I think I have a whole CD somewhere on false belief systems. I don't know if it's here or not. But it's an entire method of, through God, discovering areas where you've believed a lie. You know, sometimes people will get into discouragement or they'll get into feeling failure or defeat. And often what has happened is we believe a lie. We believe the lie of the enemy. Oh, it's never going to get any better. You know? I used to have a spirit of failure that would try to follow me around, and it was because I entertained it. I felt failure. I felt defeat. I was giving way to the stupid thing. But the more I renewed my mind in the Word, the more I realized this thing is a lie. I am making a willful choice to reject the lie and embrace the truth. And when you do that, when you're able to, the hardest part is exposing what the false belief system is. But ask God. I regularly ask God to show me anywhere that I've believed wrongly. Because every one of us can believe wrongly. And it can be something simple your parents taught you or you learned at your first church. It can just be something you just thought. But many times God will expose it and then He'll show you the truth and you get to choose which to believe. And it's very simple to switch over. But once you do, now you've embraced the truth and in that area you can walk in freedom and power. A lot of what I'm teaching you came this way, by God showing me the truth. You can renew your mind to be an effective computer that assists in godliness rather than fighting us in our growth. Whether you know it or not, how you believe deep down, not what you say you believe, but what you really believe deep down in your soul, what you earnestly believe, that's what helps you or hurts you. Your mind is basically like a computer, and it will trigger certain responses. And so what happens is you're at your own mind, but based on your belief systems, it can actually fight you in your growth in God. And so you can read, that's why we're supposed to transform our mind, change the way that it thinks. Your mind, even people who don't believe, they've done studies on what they can actually change people's belief systems by speaking out loud. One of the greatest ways to change your mind is to speak the truth out loud. Let your mind hear it. It transforms your mind. Speak the word out loud. Let your mind hear. You know, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am a new creation. When Satan accuses you of stuff, hey, the old man is passed away. Old things are dead. Behold, all things have become new. Get some scripture and speak it until your mind gets a hold of it. Because by repetition, your mind will begin to believe the truth. And then it goes to work in your behalf to assist you to grow in God. Family ties. A lot of times, the way you grew up or what you knew in your family becomes so much a part of you, you don't even see. You know, both of my parents, I never saw this until the past couple of years, and I'm in my 50s. Both of my parents were extremely goal-oriented. They were people that both grew up in poor, small town, way out. My mom grew up in a shack. And from she was young, she was out of there, man. I'm not staying here. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to town, and I'm going to get out of this thing. And my dad was the same way, and most of the people in those towns, they grow up and they die in that same town. But not them. They were out of there. And they did whatever it took to get out of there. And that was their nature. Set a goal, get it. Set a goal, get it. So they went to school, they worked, they did whatever they had to do. Well, unbeknownst to me, if you grow up and that's all you know, that's what you are. You know, that's the way I was. Same way, you know, set a goal and get it. What sounds like a good thing, but last year God began to show me that in some ways that wasn't what he was doing. And it was shocking. What I'm saying is this. The way your family does things has implanted things to you that you may not even know are there. You may just assume that's the way it is. And sometimes as you grow in God, he'll expose those things to you as things that maybe that's not the best way in his kingdom. And when he showed me this, I was pretty shocked. And he had to kind of break the box off my thinking and show me that he had different plans and he wasn't going to do it by my setting a goal and achieving it through determination. Because what is that? That's self-ability. And what is that? That's trash. Because it's really his grace and his goal, by the way. Sometimes generational stuff will try to follow you around. You can break that in the name of Jesus. And just with a word, you can break off generational curses. But sometimes it pays to ask God to reveal these things. And by the way, some of the stuff that we're blowing over is like a seminar in its own right. And I know that, but I still felt from the Lord that we should mention it. I talked about thought patterns that you got from the way your family thought and talked. But you're no longer in your earthly family. You've been translated, picked up, and moved over and deposited into the family of God. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. To a new family. So therefore, if there is generational disease in your family, you know, and you've been told all your life you have the same thing Aunt so-and-so had, that's not yours. Because you're not in that family anymore. You've been picked up, translated, and moved into the kingdom of God. And he doesn't have sickness in his family. It's not his deal. Making a god of your son or daughter or parents or the way our family does it. Abraham was told, get thee out and journey into Canaan. Leave thy land and leave thy father's house. Sometimes God will have you break ties. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you may not fellowship with them. But sometimes in the realm of the Spirit, when you want to go on with God, you break spiritual ties to the old thing and move on. And by the way, because of that, Abraham was able to form a new nation. If he hadn't obeyed God to leave and cut those ties, he'd have never formed a new nation. A man shall leave his parents and cleave to his wife. Sometimes a person doesn't really leave their parents. I see a lot of times people come to the altar, had women come to the altar, and they'll describe their husband, and I'll say, they think it's a word of knowledge, but it's not. I'll say, is your husband kind of a mama's boy? Yes, he is. How'd you know that? I think it's a word of knowledge. No, I recognize a behavior pattern, and this can be men or women. I'm just using that as an example, but what can happen is somebody hasn't cut the tie. They were pampered all their life. Mama took care of them or daddy took care of them. They were always pampered. They were never allowed to pay the price for their trouble. You know, they got in trouble, and instead of letting them pay for their trouble or deal with it, they were always bailed out, always covered over. And they become people that now expect the whole world to do that for them. And that won't work in God. Sometimes people will make their spouse the new parent. Take care of me, take care of me. And they're like a baby that's constantly got to be fed. And you know what? That's obnoxious. And it's totally out of order. I'm pretty blunt, aren't I? But it just causes so many problems in the kingdom. And it's so much easier to get free. This was always kind of a shocking set of scriptures to me. Luke 9. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now that sounds so right and respectful, doesn't it? Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. Man, that's cold, isn't it? Yeah. Let the dead bury their own. Dude, that's cold. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know what he was saying is, I hate to say it, your dad's not saved. He's not in the kingdom. He's a dead man. Spiritually speaking, he ain't saved. He's not really a part of the program. You are. You have to cut those ties and move on, brother. And that's what he was saying. Sounds tough, but that is the way it works. I just said that already. Okay. Here's another tough scripture. Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's basically saying what I just said. You cannot have anybody come before Jesus. Can't. You will have. It will bring a curse on you. You love your family. If people love their kids, your kid is like a part of you. People have a passion for their children. I understand that. But if that's out of order, it will actually open the doors to the enemy to do things to you and them. And you'll feel hurt and sad. But the truth is you still love them and bless them, but you turn them over to God and let it go. Pray for them, but don't let emotional ties or soul ties run that thing, or it will keep you and them in bondage. Emotional areas of weakness or wounding. God would like to, I was talking about this earlier, God would like to help you walk through, as we talked about the relationship that we've been talking about, through relationship and asking Him questions, He will help you walk through emotional healing until you're walking in victory. If you have demonic strongholds, people don't like to say that out loud, but many, many Christians still have strongholds, leftovers, that are they've never quite gotten free from. God, in relationship with Him and through prayer with Him, you can break those. You can. But it's easy to do it. If you just try to pray, I'm going to pray in tongues till that happens, I got to say this, it's better to go in through relationship with Him. Sit with Him and say, Lord, I need You to walk me through a complete freedom. And He'll show you what to do, how to do it. He'll tell you what it is. Sometimes you think your problem is one thing and it's something else.
It's never spiritual to have a soul.
It can be there. I've seen both. But, I could say so much here. I'll just give this example. One time, when I was a young believer, I loved the Lord with all my heart. I was praying a lot. I mean, I was really sold out to Jesus Christ, but I had a problem. And the problem was that I would, every once in a while, not all the time, I would be wrongfully drawn or attracted to a man. Not in a lust way, but in a way that was called, the Lord told me in the Bible, through the Bible, it's called inordinate affection. That's actually in the scripture. And I was like, inordinate affection means affection that's out of order. It's like, for example, if a woman were to have romantic feelings towards a man and he's married, he's not God's choice for you. That's inordinate affection. And what Satan will often do, because women tend to be more prone to inordinate affection than lust, and men tend, just because of physical issues, tend to be more prone to lust, okay? Satan tries to work the two people. He'll try to work, one and the other and try to hook them up. And so you do this battling, right? And I'm just being honest. People struggle with stuff and nobody talks about it. Ugh. But it's just true. A lot of people still deal with stuff. And here's the thing that got me. I'd be drawn to somebody. Nothing would ever happen. Praise the Lord, He'd protect me. But I'd pray through. I'd battle and I'd do everything I knew how to do, warfare and stuff. Win the battle. Yay, I'm delivered. And maybe 8 months would go by, 10 months, and then it would start to happen again. Being like, what is the deal? I thought I was free from this, And some years went by, and it would be like this every so often, maybe every year, 6 months, something like this would come up, and I'd always win. Praise the Lord. He didn't, He kept me from doing anything stupid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for prayer. But I remember one day I sat in the kitchen, and I said what I should have said in the first place. I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why am I like this? And He said to me, you're looking for your father in every man you meet. And immediately I knew that that was the truth. My father was not a very warm guy. He's a great man, but he was not a warm man. And most children have a need for their dad's approval. And if you didn't have your dad's approval, sometimes it's hard to understand God's approval. If you never had that, and you were a kid that never had that, a lot of times we see people who are broken and they're still striving for God's approval. Well, what was happening with me, I know this is stupid, but I'm just telling you how the enemy got in. I tended to be drawn towards people that had something about them that I looked up to or that was like my dad. My dad was a president of his company. He was a very strong man. I saw him go to work every day in suits. He was a brilliant, brilliant guy. And so I would tend to be drawn to somebody like that. But what was happening to me emotionally was, and a lot of young women, just being honest, fall into this, and it's not because they have lust, it's because they desperately want to feel that someone loves them. Yeah. So they'll allow themselves to get involved with a guy, but it's really because they really are just desiring man's approval. They want somebody to say, you're okay. It's a terrible lie from the pit of hell. Terrible lie. And so, anyway, that day I got free forever. That truth. And I sat there, and within about 1 minute I was free. And I'd spent hours praying against this stupid thing, because I'm thinking I was battling a demon, and I was. But what set me free was when I acknowledged the truth, what he said. I said, first of all, I repent, because it's just so stupid. But also, I repent because what was I doing? This is what he showed me. I was looking for the approval of man instead of God. I repented of both of those things. Instantly, that's gone. Never, and that was in my late 20s, never had a problem again. So I got free or delivered from a stronghold by the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sometimes the root cause is not what you think. Sometimes he can show you one thing, it'll set you free. It's not always like that. Sometimes you can get free from demonic influence if you get healed of a wound. Sometimes if you're wounded, Satan will come over and over and he'll rub salt in the wound. And it causes them to be able to have a stronghold because you're not whole in that area. When you're not whole, you tend to respond a certain way. Certain things will set you off because in that area you're wounded. So sometimes if you can get emotionally whole, he can't grip onto you. He can't hold onto you. I think we talked about this. Any form of idolatry, emotional or otherwise, even ministry, self-motives, or being seen as spiritual is idolatry. A pure heart is the very best protection. It is really hard for the enemy to overcome somebody that has a pure heart. Now, he'll battle you, but it's hard for him to win. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But I believe that means keep your heart perfect. Keep your heart towards God perfect. Make sure that your motives are pure. And if they're not, you pray until they are. You can purge your heart. You can cleanse your heart. Pure motives protect you from deception and wrong actions. If your heart is truly for what's best in the kingdom, it will keep you from sin. Most of what Christians do in the kingdom is because they feel it's... Here again, even sometimes we're asking for God's approval, and that's not wrong. We desire for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But a lot of times, there is a heart that God desires for us to press into, and you can get this heart from God. It takes a while, but you can pray into it. And when you do, it's one of the best things you'll ever have. But if you get a heart that is truly what's best for the kingdom, and I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a minister and you have a meeting. Now this weekend, somebody else is having a real good meeting somewhere, I don't know what town. And people told me, oh, some people are going there. Well, you know, I can say truly and from my heart, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to get upset or try to control everybody or make them come here or get mad because they didn't come to my little meeting. Because if I did, that'd be an impure heart. But if I truly care for his kingdom and his body, I'm going to say, God, you send people to where you want them to be, where you know they're going to receive what they need to. And when you can truly say that from a pure heart, that keeps you from being a control freak, trying to manipulate people, crank people into coming to your deal. That's just one example, but even if you're not in the ministry, it applies to everything. If the reason that you're doing something becomes, if you can press into a place where it's truly about his kingdom, it will make a huge difference in your life. It brings the favor of God on you. I believe that Adam's nature before the fall, because think of it, we were made in the image of God. What is God's nature? Love. God even spelled it out. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. He pointed to the Father. Holy Spirit, he doesn't testify of himself. He points to Jesus all the time. What does the Father say? I made my Son, the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Each one is always in honor, the Bible says, in honor giving preference to the other. Do you understand? That's the nature of God, to give preference to the other. So if a more anointed minister comes to town, hallelujah, go to that meeting. Go over there, get blessed, learn something, come back and tell me. That's the heart. That is, I believe, that Adam was made in the image of God, and I believe that before the fall corrupted him, I believe, I had a 24-hour experience with God where I got to see Eden, got to see what it was before the fall. This is what he showed me in that 24 hours. This is what Jesus died for us to come back into, is that we can, through prayer, if we press into it, we can gain a heart that is truly God first and kingdom first. And he will actually change your heart to truly become that, and not just because you're supposed to. Took me, I prayed into it for a couple of years, I'm telling you, but it was worth it. You will seek what is best for the kingdom and for Jesus, even if it hurts you. And then Jesus rewards you with even more. People or leaders sometimes control and manipulate others because of selfishness and pride, but this hurts the kingdom, and it opens the door for attack. Learning to commune with the Lord and then outwardly manifest His presence and Word is something that is a lifetime learning process. Oh, yeah. We were talking about this last night. People think that they're supposed to just be spiritual overnight, and sometimes people look at somebody else who's very spiritual and having these great experiences, and they feel like chopped liver, you know, how come it's not happening to me? I used to feel like that. But it is a lifetime learning process, and what I believe God is saying to us this weekend is it isn't just about what happens here, it's about the process that you go through when you leave here for the rest of your life. He told me that hearing a teaching on something is like getting teaching on how to play tennis or play golf. You can say amen, but if you want to be good at it, you've got to play tennis or play golf over and over. You've got to do it. So this thing of relationship and being with the Spirit of God is something you have to work at every day. You know, it's just like if you have a friend you see once a year, you're not going to be that close to them. But if you have someone you see all the time, you're going to know their every little thing. And it's just like that with God. The more time you spend with Him, the closer you get. And all these things that we're talking about, I've talked about a lot of different techniques. You need to learn each technique until God is taking you into the next step. And it's sort of, you know, sometimes, I know we don't really believe in the martial arts, but one of the things that, in a way, it's a good example, because those guys, they practice a technique until it becomes an automated response, until it becomes their natural response. And that is how we're to be with the Word of God and with the things of the Spirit. We're to do it until it becomes who we are. Knowledge alone does not do it. You have to learn it until it becomes your immediate response. Word of God, prayer, faith, confession all defeat the enemy and bring us closer to the Lord. Sometimes one method or technique is more effective than the other. With practice, you will learn which method to use and at which times. There's times when we go into flat-out warfare, beat the devil to a pulp. There's other times when we just immerse ourselves into the rest of God and God takes care of it. And over time, the Spirit of God will tell you which is which. God wants to immerse us into new ways of thinking and new ways of relating to Him. He is bringing you into a place of living in Him in the garden. And this is going to be a starting point of a new lifestyle for those that desire more of Him. All right, hallelujah. And as in December, God told me we're going to hold a seminar. I said, okay. And I didn't know what it was going to be. At first, I thought it was going to be like getting free, staying free or something like that. I didn't really know. And so I asked him what the name was. He said, going to a deeper level in God. And I thought, yay. But I still didn't have a clue what he was driving at. So I was assuming we were all going to go to this deep, profound place, you know, to this next level. And then he began to correct me and say, no, every person in the body is at a different place in their relationship with God. And he said, my plan for this weekend was to meet every single person where they are at and draw them into the next place. Taking us into the realms of God, and he wants us to understand that that is our new home. Once you're born again and full of the Spirit, and see, we're so accustomed to living on earth and seeing things the way that the earth is, but once you're born again as a spirit man, you are literally now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Your home and where you live is the realm of the Spirit. That's what that means. You're a citizen, you have dual citizenship. Your physical person, your physical body, lives in the earth realm. That's how you communicate with people and deal with natural things. But your spirit man is supposed to be communicating in the realm of the Spirit and doing things for God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus had no clue. When Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? You know, no, absolutely clueless. And Jesus seemed really stunned at the fact that Nicodemus didn't get it. His answer was pretty shocking. He said, what, you're a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Kind of blunt, wasn't it? You're a leader of the only people on the face of the earth that have a covenant with God right now, and you don't get it. You're a master of Israel, teacher, and you don't understand these things. How will you understand heavenly things if you don't even understand earthly things? It was as though he expected us to get the things of the Spirit and was surprised that we didn't. Remember when he said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you haven't known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. It was like he was a little bit, maybe not frustrated, but he seemed a little bit aggravated that we didn't get it. And the truth is, we have accepted a style of Christian living that is so much worldly and so much in the natural that it is actually not the plan of God. And so God is trying to raise us up to live as spiritual beings in the realm of the Spirit, because if you learn how to live with Him, having your affections set on things above, being seated in heavenly places and operating from the mind of Christ instead of your own understanding, then you will walk in victory, because from that perspective and from that understanding, you'll speak the word of the Lord, and it is, because it's Him giving you what to say, and you speak it really in heavenly realms. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants to draw us up into a place where that becomes the norm, where we understand spiritual things, where it's not a mystery. You know, I love when I get, it's very rare when you find a group of people who've operated a lot in the realm of the Spirit. There are a few groups of people like that on the earth. They're pretty hidden, not real popular usually. But it's very, for me, very fun when I meet them, because I can finally talk to somebody about something. You know, I've had certain experiences I wouldn't dare tell most people in the church. You know, because they wouldn't understand what I meant. They might think I was crazy. I'm surprised I've told you as much as I have. God made me tell some of my secrets. And I don't usually, because a lot of times people don't understand, you know, because the Bible says the things of the Spirit, you know, they don't make sense to the carnal man. They're foolishness to him. He won't get it. He'll make funny. He'll scoff at it. Because he's carnal and earthly, and he sees what he sees, and that's the way it is. But the things of the Spirit are spiritually understood. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit reaps life. And see, what happens is when you, what that means in English, sometimes people don't know what you mean when you say in the flesh. What it means to operate in the flesh is you see something with your natural eye, you make a decision based on what you think in your natural mind, you choose a path based on your logic, and you go that way. If that's not what God said, you've just sown to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you will of the flesh reap corruption. Well, what do you mean? I thought we were, I wanted to go this way. This made sense to me. Well, that's why it says, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because what makes sense to you and what seems logical to you is quite often not what God will give you to do. Go dip in the pool of Siloam. Why? Why would I do that? Can't you just heal me right here? You know, I remember one woman, she actually had a tumor in her head, but she didn't know that yet. And she would have these nerve dysfunctions that would throw like a shooting knife pain into the back of her head and would almost throw her to the floor. Terrible. When I prayed with her, I saw a black spot about that big, and it was a tumor. And they discovered it, and they were going to cut it out. So I told her what it was, and I told her, go home. Now, this wasn't me, but the Spirit of the Lord. Go home and take some oil, and, you know, and I gave her some things to do. Now, her testimony later was, she went to the hospital. They confirmed that it was a tumor there. They operated on her and got it out. And I said, did you go home and do the thing with the oil that I told you to do? Well, no, I didn't. She was thrilled with the way it turned out, but it should have been better. If she would have done what the Spirit of God told her to do, she'd have been healed. Because I didn't make it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not condemning her. I'm just saying it happens. That stuff happens. But as you find out from the Spirit what to do, He may tell you to do something really odd, you know. And you just test it, make sure it's really Him. Plead the blood of Jesus and ask. You know, the Bible says, you know, ask. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? You know, any spirit that can't say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, it's not of God. Sometimes the enemy will try to come and trick you. And you can force them. You can make them. You know, they have to bow to you. You don't have to bow to them. You can make them say, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And an angel, if an angel comes, a real angel, a holy angel, he'll start worshiping. He'll never just say, Jesus came in the flesh. He'll say, Jesus Christ came in the flesh and He sits on the throne of heaven and glory to God. You know, if it's a real angel, he'll start in. Yes, keep on going, having a Holy Ghost fit. Angels that serve the Lord are very lovely. We welcome them. They come in our services sometimes. Sometimes people see them, sometimes they don't. But angels have come, and they come to guard the move of God. They love to worship with us. They love to heal. They love to bring gifts from the Lord to people. Quite often when someone is healing, being healed, an angel is delivering that healing. But anyway, you can test a spirit if the enemy's trying to trick you into doing something. You can always just, you know, make sure who it is. The Bible says, test everything, hold fast to that which is good. Amen. We're just floating now. Did you notice? Slideshow's done. So God said He would meet each of us where we're at. There are some people in here who are very, very spiritual. You've had heavenly experiences. You've lived with God. There's other people who never have and want to, and then there's everything in the middle. And what God said is He wants to meet with every single person. And you know, I shared this a little bit this morning or last night, that I used to preach on being led by the Spirit because I knew that that was the way to success, and it is. But for a long time, I saw that for whatever reason, people were not fully understanding me. And last year or so, I had God showed me a revelation, was that a lot of people did not have a relationship with the Lord that was a close friendship, a close walk with Him. They didn't have a heart-to-heart close relationship. And because of that, they couldn't find a way to be led of the Spirit. And so that's why I was thrilled when God started giving me the information for these PowerPoints. And especially, again, if you weren't here last night, God really took us into a relationship. It's all about relationship. Everything, all the progress you make, all the word studies you do, all the praying you do, everything is about relationship with Him. Everything. And I really believe that when we enter heaven, one of the, if not the main thing that we would be judged on is, did we walk close with Him in relationship? Could He say, like He said of Abraham, this is my friend. This is my friend that I walked with for many years. You know, it's wonderful to walk with the Lord, really walk with Him every day, and be able to hear every day, Lord, what do you want to do about this? What do you think of that, Lord? What should I do about this? It's wonderful to be able to listen to the Lord and get His opinion. Sometimes you'll be facing a trial and you think it's a bad thing, and He'll say something and make you realize that it's a great thing. You know, it changed your perspective, caused you to see it from the light of heaven. And if you press into relationship with Him, He will actually allow you to have experiences where you are allowed to come where He is and see what He sees the way He sees it. From His heart and His perspective, He'll allow you to do that. God shows me things through pictures. Quite often when He teaches me, He shows me a picture of something, and a picture does really say 1,000 words. The one time He showed me a picture of a babe in Him with an umbilical cord, but the umbilical cord went to the baby's mouth, and this baby was drinking the milk of God. He was living in God. What a delightful place to live. Totally protected, living in the Father. I know this is out there. Some people may think that's just weird, but I don't really care. When you have experiences where you are safe in God and He is feeding you the food of heaven, there's times when the Holy Spirit will come and will allow you to to eat spiritual food from heaven, drink spiritual drink, and it is amazing. There are real oases in God. There are real fountains in God, real waterfalls, real rivers. And it's a shame because most of the church has not been able to find their way to the real water of God, you know. And we do it once in a while at a meeting, and we get a little whoosh through the meeting, and yay, you know. And that's thrilling, but it really is the desire of God that we live there. It really is His desire that we make our home in Him, that we make our home in His realm. As I said last night, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. That's why ye must be born again. Because unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And the reason is the kingdom of God is the spirit realm. And you can't see it in your natural flesh, but you must be born again of the spirit. You must be a spirit man to commune with God in a free way.